Welcome to Food Neighborhoods on Monocle 24. I am Markus Hippi. All cities have areas the locals love for their food and drink offerings, and in this series we get to know these places. This week we head to Singapore's Katong district, which is one of the city's oldest neighborhoods and very much off the beaten tourist track. It's also known as a particularly vibrant area that's home to many of the city-state's different ethnic groups. Our guide to the neighborhood's food and drink outposts is Debbie Young, the digital editor for the Michelin Guide Singapore. Monocle's Matt Alagaya spoke to her.
We're having breakfast today in Katong. Katong is a really special neighborhood in Singapore. It's one of the country's oldest neighborhoods. A lot of very wealthy people used to live here. In the early days, it was where you would find Peranakans, which is people who are early descendants of mixed marriages between Chinese immigrants to Singapore, as well as the local native Muslim community, as well as early European settlers and Chinese traders. This place was very popular among the wealthy because actually most of what you see today is reclaimed. So this used to be the waterfront. So a lot of the very rich people in Singapore would build waterfront mansions here, which explains why a lot of the architecture you see here is very intricate. The houses are beautiful. You see a lot of very well-preserved heritage architecture.
Yeah, you can absolutely tell. I mean, Singapore is often known for its big glass and steel towers, but actually here, a lot of the architecture is on quite a human scale. It's quite sort of low rise. It's very, very pretty as well. We're sitting right now in the Chin Mei Chin Confectionery, which is open-fronted, so you can hear some of the traffic outside, and it's very busy in here as well. Could you tell us a little bit about this place and why you picked it?
Chin Mei Chin is one of the oldest bakeries in Singapore. It was founded in the 1920s, and it's still family-owned today. They specialize in a very traditional Singapore breakfast, which is kaya toast. It's toast with kaya is a sort of coconut jam made with coconut and eggs and pandan, a local leaf that is very popular in making of cakes because it's very fragrant. So Singaporeans would typically have kaya toast with a side of half-boiled eggs and some coffee. Chin Mei Chin is special because they still do their kaya toast in a very traditional way. So a lot of modern bakeries, they now use sliced loaf bread, but Chin Mei Chin still uses a traditional bun, and they still grill it over a charcoal grill, so it has a bit of a smoky flavor.
And yeah, we've got these in front of us, along with some coffee with condensed milk in it. Is that quite a normal thing to go with this as well?
There's really an option. Actually, ordering coffee in Singapore has an entire lingo of its own. So you have everything from kopi, which is coffee with condensed milk, as you are having. Kopi O, which is black coffee. You have kopi C, which is with evaporated milk. You have kopi O kosong, which is with no sugar. Kopi gao, which is extra thick. And the same set of terminology applies to tea as well. So it can be a real challenge ordering coffee in Singapore, but once you get used to it, it's actually kind of fun.
So Debbie, we've walked about three doors down East Coast Road in Katong, and we've come to another restaurant, and we're sitting down at one of their tables. Can you tell us, first of all, where we are, and again, why you picked this one?
Right, so we're now at 328 Laksa. It is a place that specializes in laksa, which is, a very quintessential Singaporean dish. It is made with rice noodles in a fish-based curry gravy, with a lot of coconut milk, laksa leaf, and dried shrimp paste.
And what makes this one kind of unique? I mean, you said that this is a Katong laksa. What defines that as opposed to a normal one?
Right, so there are different styles of laksa in Singapore. And Katong laksa was created maybe in the 1960s by two brothers who had a store in the neighborhood. And typically when you eat laksa, because of the curry gravy, it's very splashy, you could make a mess, you stain your white shirt. So they decided to cut the noodles, and you can eat it with just a single spoon. So in a lot of Katong laksa shops, they won't give you chopsticks. You can't find chopsticks anywhere in the shop. They serve you a bowl with just a spoon. Do you want to hear about the laksa wars also?
Yes, please.
So 328 Laksa was started by this lady called Nancy. She's very feisty, and you can see in a lot of the photos on the walls, she has photos of herself with celebrities, all the newspaper articles that have written about her stall. She has flaming red hair. Basically, she started as a hawker stall assistant, and when the original founders of Katong Laksa vacated a unit in Katong, she, being quite the businesswoman, saw the opportunity and rented that unit, and then started her own brand of Katong Laksa, which is 328, and today it's one of the more recognized brands. In the early 2000s, actually, there was this Katong Laksa Wars in Singapore. So in a stretch of about 50 meters, you would find 4 to 5 stalls, all claiming to be the founders of Katong Laksa. And in Singapore, people debate about food very passionately, even more than politics or housing prices. So everyone was on a quest to find the founder of Katong Laksa. So the wars have died down a little bit, and about 3 brands remain, and this is one of my favorite because, as I was saying, it has a good balance between being too spicy and still being flavorful. And you can also eat it. I think one of the specialties is to eat it with these raw cockles that are probably not good for your health, but they add an extra dimension, I think, to the laksa.
Is this a particularly spicy dish? I mean, is this hot, or what's the kind of flavor profile, would you say?
It varies. It depends on the shop you go to. I think 328 has a good balance between being spicy and flavorful, and it's very... There's a local term for it called lemak, which is a Malay word for this fatty coconut flavor, and people seem to really enjoy it.
And there's something else we have here, which is a rolled up leaf of some description. I'm going to let you describe it, but it's called ota.
So ota is fish paste with a bit of spice, wrapped in bamboo leaves and steamed. It's typically sold also in places where you can find laksa, and also enjoy it with some lime juice. So they say the way to cut through lemak foods is to enjoy it with a bit of acidity.
And finally, what's the kind of the place of a good laksa in Singaporean cooking? I mean, when would you have it? Is it a lunchtime thing? Is it an evening thing? Or does it kind of, you know, is it for all times of day and all occasions?
I think that's the beauty of a lot of Singaporean food, especially laksa. You can have it for breakfast, for lunch, dinner, supper.
So Debbie, we've come to another place where they're making lots of dumplings back here. We're just in the kind of the kitchen behind the shop front. Tell us where we've come to now and what's going on around us.
We're in this little shop called Kim Chu Kwe Chang. They are a very traditional shop, started in the 1940s, and they specialize in what we call bachang, or rice dumplings. So these are typically glutinous rice parcels that are wrapped around savory fillings of minced meat, sometimes with mushrooms and sausages. And they are shaped into a triangle parcel and then wrapped with bamboo leaves and then steamed. Bachang or dumplings are typically eaten on the fifth day of the fifth lunar month, or what we call Dragon Boat Festival. And Dragon Boat Festival commemorates a Chinese poet called Chu Yuan, who was so depressed at the state of the government in China several dynasties ago that he committed suicide by jumping into the river. And because the Chinese people so loved him and they didn't want his body to be eaten by the fishes, so they started wrapping these little rice parcels and threw them into the river, hoping that the fish would eat them instead.
Right.
Yeah, and Kim Chu Kwe Chang does a nonya version of it, which is a bit sweeter than the usual bachangs that you find out there, because they wrap a candied winter melon inside the parcel as well. And Kim Chu Kwe Chang is one of the more famous names in Singapore. They are now run by a third generation owner, and since then they've actually expanded beyond dumplings. So the current owner and his parents, they've opened a little restaurant where you can dine in and have some food. They've also opened a museum gallery shop dedicated to Peranakan culture. So you can also buy Peranakan homewares and learn about Peranakan bead weaving, which is very typical in their culture, beyond just savouring these amazing, delicious dumplings.
And are the dumplings a Peranakan speciality, or are they kind of eaten by everyone here in Singapore?
I think they're eaten by everyone here, but the Peranakans have added their own special twist to it, where, you know, they also marry in some typically Southeast Asian ingredients, like the butterfly pea flower, which it's used in the early days as a blue dye. So sometimes you see in Peranakan dumplings, they have a little corner that is this beautiful light blue shade.
We're just watching here one of the women who is wrapping the rice in leaves. It's amazingly skilled work, isn't it?
It is. It's terribly difficult to do. That's why Kim Chu Kwe Chang does workshops sometimes. You have to basically cup the bamboo leaves into a triangle shape in your palms. So your palms have to be big enough to hold it. And then you put a layer of rice, and then you scoop in some mincemeat. Even the mincemeat, it takes a long time to get that right. It has to be stewed, sometimes overnight. Different shops have different spice mixtures to have the signature taste profile that you can't find anywhere else. And then after that, all of it is tied together with a raffia string. You can't tie it too tightly or it won't cook well enough. If you tie it too loose, the whole thing will expand when you're steaming and boiling it. So it really is an art that I hope people appreciate, because it's also a dying art. Very few people have the patience now to stand in a kitchen. At least this one is air conditioned and it's really comfortable, but very few young people have the patience to stand around wrapping dumplings all day.
And finally, I mean, could you just describe what they actually taste like? I mean, are you quite a fan of them? Do you like eating them? And what do they taste like, and what's the texture like?
They're a little bit sticky because of the glutinous rice. So you spoon in, it sticks to your spoon, and then you get to this savory, meaty clump. And then with the nonya dumplings, you get a little sweet heart, you know, from the candied winter melon. So again, it's this lovely, sweet, savory balance that the Peranakan seem to really love.
And that ethnic mix that you mentioned, that it had Peranakans and Chinese as well, that kind of still exists today. I mean, you walk around and it does feel like an amazingly mixed community here in Katong.
Yeah, definitely. And you also see that in the food offering. So you can walk down one street and, you know, start from one end, which has a lot of Muslim food, and you see a lot of signs in Arabic and everything is halal. And then you walk a bit further and there's a little Vietnamese community, so you see little pho shops. And then you walk a little bit further and then it's the Peranakan end of the street. So you see a lot of nonya specialties like the dumplings, some laksa that we're going to have today, a Hainanese coffee shop with kaya toast. It's really a mixed bag.
That was Debbie Yong guiding Monocle's Matt Alagaya in Singapore's Katong District. This has been episode number 6 of Food Neighbourhoods. For more food and drink stories, tune into The Menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Markus Hippi. Thank you for listening and goodbye.